No, b'tchilu rechimu liyachet shem yidke bevavke b'hem shem kai Yisrael. To begin to talk about, we're going to begin to talk about the Tzadik B'Kodesh, the Rebbe Elimelech Milizhensk, who the Chassidim called the Rebbe Meilech, the Rebbe Elimelech. In the course of talking about the Holy Rebbe Elimelech, we're going to, of course, also talk about and learn Torah from his illustrious brother, the Rebbe Abzushia, who was even a greater mystery to us. The Rebbe Abzushia. We have very few Torahs in the Rebbe Abzushia. The Torahs that we have, we're going to spend some time on. So it's really going to be, over the months that are coming, it's really going to be, Mitzvah Hashem, the Rebbe Abmelech and the Rebbe Abzushia. But the Ikka HaLimud, the main Limud, the main learning, of course, is going to be in the Noam HaLimelech. The truth is that it really should be also for people like ourselves to talk about the Rebbe Elimelech, or people like myself, for sure. I shouldn't say about other Jews, but to talk about such a person and to be able to enter into that place, that Gan Eden, that the Rebbe Reb Melech and his brother, the Rebbe Zushia, occupied, is something which is beyond the hasagas of our generation. And I know it sounds like that when I begin to talk about each tzaddik, but the tzaddikim that I've been talking about were all completely, completely in awe of the Rebbe Melech. And to understand the whole hishtashlus of chassidus in Poland and Galicia, well, all of the tzaddikim were the talmidim of the Noam HaLimelech. And to be able to have the schus in our generation to taste a little bit from the sefer Noam HaLimelech, which is sifrim shel tzaddikim, which is a very, very, very difficult sefer. We'll talk a lot about and we'll learn a lot of Noam HaLimelech this year, Mitzvah Hashem. It's something which the only way I think that we could begin is with stories. And since the Seder, since we started the shul, was to begin with talking about the toldus of the tzaddik, to talk about the life of the tzaddik. Again, when we say the life of the tzaddik, just the stories that we have of Baruch Hashem, as the years are going by, there are more svarim that are coming out to bring the stories together. It used to be, I mean, even when we started this year, it's already almost 11 years, when we started this year, so it was always trying to go to 20, 30 different svarim and to find in Hagdamas, Maisim, and a few likutim that they had of stories from Baruch Hashem of the past few years. Since there's such an interest and there's such a bakasha for the Torahs of Baal Shem and the students of Baal Shem Tov, that there have been a lot of wonderful sforim that have come out to put the Torahs together, the stories together. The Torahs, we have to learn the Noam HaLimelech. It's a very, very difficult sefer, and we have to, and we'll Mitzvah Hashem begin, but that's probably going to only be after Yom Tov, we'll be able to begin the sefer inside. But the Rebbeinu Shalom started the Torah with stories. And he taught us that the way to begin is with stories. We begin by telling children stories. We don't begin with telling them Torahs. Those that started with telling Torahs, they very often, those children don't want to hear any more Torahs later on. You have to begin with telling stories. And the Rebbeinu Shalom began the Torah with a story, with Breishis. And that's, as I've mentioned to you many, many times over the years, what the B'dichva said, Pshat and Rashi, Pshat, not the Oymik of Rashi, when Rashi asks the question at the beginning of his parish, in Chumash Matam, Pasach B'Breishis, what's the reason that the Torah begins with Breishis? Rabbi Yitzchak, the Torah should begin with what? With the Chedesh Zalacham, with the first mitzvah. The Torah, with halacha, it should begin with halacha. The first halacha, mufureshes and Torahs, achadish is halacham, which is way, way up ahead in Pashas Bo. It should have started with that. So the B'dichva said, Ma tam, pasal breishes. It's such a delicious taste that the Baruch Shalom wanted to give us, that he began with stories. Ma tam, as I zisa tam, it's such a sweet taste that a Jew has, that the Torah begins with stories, and it gives him a cheshek, to learn. To go weiter, to go and to be a Jew that keeps halach and wants to know what the halachas are. Baruch Hashem, when it comes to the Noam HaLimelech, we have a shefa of stories. Even though it's with many of the earlier tzaddikim that we've learned about, there were very few stories. Kedushas Levi, there were more. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, there are many, many stories. Reb Tzadik, the Ishbitz, are very, very few stories. The Rebbe Bunim, somewhat more is available. But the Noam HaLimelech, I remember. We have an anicle from the Noam HaLimelech, right? I remember that. Right, so they said that we have Baruch Hashem. The Bernsteins are our direct descendants, Noam HaMelech, and certainly it's we have, and we'll talk about that later on, that all of the Eniklech from the Noam HaMelech have a koach to give brachas to Jews. So we'll talk more about that later on. And everybody can ask for brachas. I don't know if there's any charge, but we have an Eniklech from Noam HaMelech here. So to begin with, you have Baruch Hashem a shefa of material, of stories. It's only going to be a problem to be mitzamtzem, because really there are enough stories to tell from now until after Shavuot. It's just stories to talk about. But we have to learn the Torahs. And again, we don't have a biography. There's no such thing as a biography of the Noam HaMelech. It's like Lahavdil, you know, a biography of the presidents of the United States. That I'm sure some of you have done homework with your kids on that. It's not they're not biographies. We have the Sipur Maisi stories that came down to us from generation to generation, stories that are found in the Svarim, and we try to put the pieces of the puzzle together to get some sort of a picture of who we're talking about. And Achrei Kich Lois HaKol, it's not even shaykh that people like us should understand a mashu of the Rebbe of Melech or of his brother, the Rebbe of Zusha. The specific history of who they were, where they came from, we'll get to, but I wanted tonight at least to begin with a few meisim that we have, a few comments that were made by the tzaddikim through the generations regarding the Noam HaMelech, to get a little bit of an idea of how difficult it is to enter into the chotzer, into the courtyard of this tzaddik. The Maram Ash. Now, some of you might not have heard of the Maram Ash. My father comes from the city of Ungvar. In Ungvar, the Maram Ash was Ungvar Rav many years before. Of course, he was one of the greatest disciples of the Chassam Sofer. Now, those of you who are familiar with what Yiddishkeit was, or read about, or heard about what Yiddishkeit was in Hungary, you know that there were many tzaddikim there, Gedolei Olam, from the Talmidim, the Chassam Sofer, who were not going to Chassidish Rebbes. They weren't going to tzaddikim. They weren't really part of a Chassidish court. Yet there certainly was not the kind of hisnagdus. There was not the opposition that was in Lithuania and certain places in Russia. And there was a good relationship. Generally, there was a very good relationship between the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov and the Gedolim, the Rabbanim of Hungary. And over the years, many of the Rabbanim of Hungary eventually became themselves followers of tzaddikim. The Grunwald family, the famous Grunwald family that began really the Arugas Abaisim and the descendants of the Arugas Abaisim. In our generation, two great tzaddikim will live a few minutes from here, the Tzaylamarov and the Puparov. They were, of course, the family of the Arugas Abaisim with the Grunwalds and other great illustrious families where the Yismach Moshe came, and that in Hungary, many of the Rabbanim in the end became followers of the Talmidei Baal Shem. The Maram Ash was one of the great Rabbanim in Hungary, and he was very, very close friends. He was b'yedidus with one of the great Chassidish Rebbes, the Liske Rebbe, the author of Ach Pritur of Tzvi Hirsch, Reb Hirsch LeLiske. And there are many stories that are told about their friendship. One time, the tzaddik, the Liske Rebbe, when he came to see his friend, he hadn't seen the Maram Ash in a long time. He came and he brought a kvittel. He came with a kvittel. Now, kvittel, you know, is when you come to Chassidish Rebbe. When you come to Chassidish Rebbe, you come with a paper, and you know, the paper you write, you pour your heart onto the paper, and you come with a pidyon, which you could have something to give to make your hiskashus. Well, we're going to learn a lot about that, by the way, in the Noam HaMelech, the whole inyan of a kvittel, and the pidyon, and the money that's given, that most of the tzaddikim used either for supporting the chotzer, or they mostly gave away to tzedakah. And this tzaddik, the Liske Rebbe, came to the Maram Ash with a kvittel. The Maram Ash told him that, Maram Ash says, "What? I'm not a rebbe. Would you come to me with a kvittel? Would you come to me with a kvittel and with money?" And he pushed it back. And besides, they were good friends. It seems that his friend had a certain inyan, problem with the family, something. He came to the Maram Ash with a kvittel. So the Ach Bitur of Hirsch LeLiske said, "What you don't want to do a taiva for a Jew? That you can't do a taiva for a Jew?" And besides, he said, "Didn't you learn the Noam HaMelech? The Noam HaMelech in Parshas Korach, especially there at the beginning of Parshas Korach, the Noam HaMelech talks about Barichas regarding the inyan of how important it is to give opinion with a kvittel to a tzaddik and so on. So he asked the Maramash, so you can't do a Torah for a Jew and you didn't learn the Naim HaMelech? So the Maramash says, that's what it says, let's learn the Naim HaMelech, let's see. So they took out the Sefer Naim HaMelech, and after they learned that piece in Parshas Korach, in Naim HaMelech, so he said, so the Maramash said, no, I see that it is a chashuv thing, that, and he agreed. And then the Maramash said like this, since we learned a little piece of Naim HaMelech, and the reason that we're having this kvittel today is because of the Naim HaMelech, let me tell you what I heard from my Rebbe, who heard from his Rebbe about the Naim HaMelech. Now, again, the Rebbe of the Maramash was the Chassam Sofer. I don't think anybody, even if you're not familiar with all the details, I don't think anybody has to, there's nobody here who hasn't heard about the greatness of the Chassam Sofer, who was certainly not a follower of the Chassidim, but had warm relations with the Yismach Moshe and other Tzaddikim. So the Chassam Sofer had two Rebbes. The first was Reb Nosson Adler. Reb Nosson Adler was an awesome Mekubal and a Goyin Olam who was not among the followers of the Chassidim. Reb Nosson Adler was very, very much admired by all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. And the other Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer was, of course, a great Chassidish Rebbe, who was Reb Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, the author of Panim Yofes and Haflo, the brother of who? Of the Rebbe Shmelke from Nikolsburg. So the Maramash said that I heard from my Rebbe from the Chassam Sofer, who heard from Reb Nosson Adler the following. Listen carefully. Reb Nosson Adler said that loy bechinim, it's not for, there is a reason why it's said in the world that the Polish are not bale derech eretz, that the Polish yidden don't have derech eretz. Polish Jews don't have derech eretz. What is they don't conduct themselves in a proper way, Polish Jews. So to say such a shocking thing, so he said, and I know this for a fact, Reb Nosson Adler said, because when I have an Elias Neshama, every time, Reb Nosson Adler was a very, very big Baal Ruach HaKadosh and a Mekubal, so Reb Nosson Adler said that every single time that I have an Elias Neshama, meaning every time that I send my Neshama to heaven, to whatever it does up there, every time I have an Elias Neshama to get in Gan Eden, every time I ever get there with my Neshama, every time my Neshama gets there, the two brothers are already there, the Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Zushia. They beat me every time. They're already there, their Neshamas, but every time I ever get there, they're there already. So he said, it's in the Yiddish, he says, Pam Achas, the translation is, Shamarti is Atzmi, Shani Eya Harishin B'Gan Eden. One time, Reb Nosson Adler said, I did what I had to do to make certain that I would be the first one that day, whatever, I don't know, to be the first one in Gan Eden. Al Yidei Shechake Sham Lifnei Psichas Adelosis Shol HaGan Eden. I'm going to get there before they open the gates of paradise, before they open the gates of Gan Eden. Usually I go when I try to be the first one when it's already after opening time. And every time I come in there, there's the Rebbe Reb Melech and the Rebbe Zushia. So I made up one time, and however, obviously it took a tremendous thing for him to do that he's going to get to, I'm going to send my Neshama to Gan Eden before the gates of Gan Eden open. I remember many times being with my mother in the parking lot of shopping centers as a child. Waiting by the doors because they were having some big thing by Alexander's or Bloomingdale's and a big sale. So Lahavdil, the Rebbe Melech said, I mean the Reb Nosson Adler said, I made up my mind that I'm going to get there before they open up the losses shall Gan Eden. Vakanis Harishna Gan Eden. Miyadim Psichas of the losses. I'll be the first one, right when they open up, I'm going to be the first one. The Stamma, when you're first, there are things that you can accomplish that you can't accomplish when you're after. When you second? Listen, Reb Nosson Adler said, even though I did that, and they opened up in front of me the gates, and I went into Gan Eden, there they were. He says, the precious brothers, he says, there they were, the Rebbe Reb Melech and the Rebbe Zushia, they were there. I don't know how they got over the fence. It's not like the places that you and I used to get into, you know, when the fence was locked. So he says, I don't know how they got into Gan Eden. But you see what I told you, that the Polish don't have derech eretz. About derech eretz, that's not his German. About derech eretz knows that when the gate, you don't go into some place if it's locked. He says, but the Polish, he says, the meaning the Rebbe Reb Melech and the Rebbe Zusha, the Polish don't have derech eretz, and they somehow they get into a place even before it opens. That they didn't wait till they open. It's not their hair, it's a personal waste. They open up. So Ramash said, and he finished, and he said, in Harava Kodesh, a Rebbe of Melech, Be'emes Kol Godlin in Muchalech, Letzai Sedorv, and he accepted the kvittel. And if the Rebbe of Melech was so great that he was able to somehow figure out a way with his brother to get over the fence before they opened it up officially, so then I have to listen. And since the Rebbe of Melech says that there's an Indian of being Makabala kvittel, so he says, I'll be Makabala kvittel. So we understand that Lefi Arkeinu, people on our level, that are so grounded in halavai, we should just be normal in this world. That's also a chachma, to be about derech eretz in this world. On a deeper level, when the Reb Nosson Adler said that these two brothers, the Rebbe Zushia, the Rebbe Melech, don't have derech eretz, it means that derech eretz means that they were not meshubit to the normal rules and regulations of how people live in this world. Right, not only that, but even how things take place in the higher world. They were not bali derech eretz. He didn't mean in the way like when someone tells us you have no derech eretz. You know, like you pushed ahead, something like that. They weren't bali derech eretz. And because of that, they were able to bring such a shefa of brachas down into this world because they really lived in a higher place. And how they got into Gan Eden, even Rav Nosson Adler didn't know how they made it into Gan Eden when the doors were locked. But this we have a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim, that Ad Hayyim, to this day, when all doors are locked and the doors of Gan Eden are locked, that somehow by attaching ourselves to the teachings of these two brothers, the Rebbe of Melech and the Rebbe Zusha, and saying over stories of their lives, that somehow we're also able to get over locked fences and get into those places. And certainly when we're talking in Elul, and it's the time where we're davening HaPaseach Yad L'Doivke B'Shuvah, that Hashem should HaPaseach Shar, that Be'ez Ne'ilah Shar, that Hashem should open up the gate when the gates are locked. What's Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah is when the gates are being locked, and we daven to Hashem by Ne'ilah Rebein Psach Lanu Shar Be'ez Ne'ilah Shar, open up for us the gate when the gates are locked. So we have Tzaddikim. And that had a lot to do with my intention of beginning now with this, of learning about these tzaddikim at this time. That when we have a tzaddikim who Rav Nosson Adler was megala to us, that somehow they're able to bypass all gates that are locked, it means that if we hold on to them, we could also get in. And we could have schusim, we could have Be'ez Hashem, that it should be a good year in the schus of these tzaddikim. The Holy Visioner. Again, I wanted to share with you a few comments from Tzaddikim about the Rebbe Melech and his brother, so we have an idea of what we're talking about. The Holy Visioner once had as a guest Naftali from Lezhensk was the son of Rebbe Loza from Lezhensk, who was the son of the Noam Elimelech. So there was a grandson of the Noam Elimelech, and the Tzaddikim, it was known that the Tzaddikim always were mechabed the descendants of the Noam Elimelech very, very much. So this Reb Naftali, who was himself a big tzaddik, Naftali Lezhensker, was by the Rishner. And the Rishner, and they were talking about tzaddikim, and the Rishner said that Be'emes, he said, I would love very, very much to go to see a tzaddik. I would like to go to see a tzaddik. And he indicated that he didn't know in the generation whom to go to. He said if your grandfather was alive, if the Noam Elimelech was alive, Eilav Hayisin Leseya, to him I would definitely go. And he ended by saying the following. This was brought down in the Sfar. Ki asara etzbo shal harebi Rebbe Elimelech. And by the way, we tried to be careful not to say Rebbe Elimelech, to say the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech. That's how it was always said. That the vision has said that the 10 fingers of the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech, Heim Aseres HaDibris, are the 10 commandments. Shtei Yodav, the 2 arms of the Rebbe Rebbe Elimelech, Heim Shnei Luchas HaBris, are the 2 Luchas HaBris, the two tablets. V'chamesh Me'er Shonim Terem Sheyarda Nishmas HaRebbe Rebbe Elimelech Suchsi Agen Aleinu, 500 years before the Neshama, before the neshama of the Rebbe Elimelech came into the world, Lizeha Olam, Yardu Kvar Hashpos Tovus Ba'olam Eschusa. 500 years before he came into the world, the Neir Melamelch, there were already good things that were happening. Hashpoyas Tovus were taking place in the world 500 years in anticipation of the arrival of the Neshama of the Rebbe Elimelech into this world. The Belzer Rebbe, Reb Shalom, the first Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalom, Reb Shalom Belzer said, Pam hikarti Yehudi shehikiris ima shel harebi Rebbe Elimelech. He says, I once met a Jew. I met a Jew who met the mother of the Neir Melimelech. The Lulei Zeis, and if I had met somebody who himself personally had met the mother of the Neir Melimelech, Lo Hayisi Mamin Sharebi Rebbe Elimelech Haya Yiloid Isha. I wouldn't have believed it was possible that a human being could give birth to such a Jew as an Amalek. If I didn't know somebody that met his mother, I never would have believed it was possible that a human being could have given birth to such a Jew as the Naim Melech. It once happened that the Naim Melech. It happened sometimes, but this time was more intense than others. It sometimes happened that the Rebbe Elimelech would faint, because if it was avoid, he would go into a trance, and he would pass out. This time, however, whatever they tried to do to revive him, they were unsuccessful, and it came to a point that there was a pachad that he was going to leave the world. So, in that place was the tzaddik Rav Avraham Moshe Pshraska, not the author of the Orpnei Moshe, there were two of them, and they ran to this tzaddik to ask, what should we do? The Neir Melamelech, the Rebbe of Melech, is almost dead, he's lying on the floor. So the tzaddik from Shrask said, go quickly to the shuk, go to the marketplace, and go grab a person, a magushan. What does it mean, a magushan? We used to say a prostate mensch. Get somebody that's like, I don't want to use a bit. Where did I have to say a lower type of from the riffraff? You know, go find somebody in the shuk, a magushim, and bring him over there to the rimach, and have this magushim, the person, have this lower character, have him touch the Rebbe Elimelech. So they ran and they grabbed some guy in the shuk and they brought him, they dragged him over there to the Neir Melamelech, who's lying almost dead on the floor, finished. And they bring him over there and they threw him down. They said to touch the Neir Melamelech, and he gave a touch on the Neir Melamelech's arm, and right away the Neir Melamelech opened his eyes and he jumped up, and that was the end of the trance. They went back and they told this Rav Avraham Moshe, the tzaddik, that it worked, and they were very nispal that he knew such a thing that it worked, and the Rav Avraham Moshe Pshraska said, you should know that afilim hayekva achrei p'tirosa, it would have worked even after he would have died. It happens, you can't ask him before he died, but it would have worked after he died also. Hayekam v'neya b'ayfin zeh, that if a magushim dika person would come and would come and touch the Neir Melamelech, that what hainu yidei negias other magushim kol kach makudish haisa gufaso hakadosh, it caused such a shock to the system of the body, so holy, so pure was the body, the physical body of the Neir Melamelech, that when it was touched by an adam who was a magushim, the good person, the shock to the physical body, even if he wouldn't have been alive, even if the neshama wouldn't have been there, and we'll talk later on about what happened. I've mentioned the shul in the past, what happened when the Germans Yamach Shemam in 1939, it might have already been 1940, but probably late 1939, in the early 1940, when the Germans came into Lezhensk, and they forced the Jews to dig up the body of the Neir Melamelech, and that the body of the Neir Melamelech was still red, like he had died 2 minutes before, and all of his flesh, his entire body was intact, and the Germans forced the Jews to open up the Tachrichim of the Neir Melamelech. So the tzaddik of Rav Moshe said that, believe me, that even if he would have already been dead, why didn't it work? That would have been something in World War II if the Nehemiah Lachwell would have opened his eyes then and stood up. We weren't zeicha, obviously, in our generation for such a thing at this time. But his body was so kaddish, his body was so pure, that there was such a shock to the system that a magushim dikker person, if it would have been a Talmud Chacham or a Ben Tayer or a nice Jew, so then he would have been soifel. It wouldn't have been such like, wouldn't have been like throwing something hot in the cold water. But like this, it was such a shock. It was such a shock to the system that the normal Melech woke up. The Chedusha Arim. Now Chedusha and the Ger Rebbe, Schusia Genelenu, as you know, was not from Galicia. And there was a very big difference between how the tzaddikim in Galicia and the tzaddikim in Poland conducted the chassidus. And we're going to learn a lot about that, about the differences. We'll talk about that. And the amazing hashgacha of why is it that the Nar Melech Melech Davke ended up, why was his job to bring about the Jews of Galicia. The Chedushim, as you know, was in Warsaw. And in Ger, which is right near Warsaw, and Chedushim had a different mahalach. Everybody knows that, and we spoke about the Chedushim. Everybody knows that the ikur of the Chedushim, which is that world of Kotzkim Pshischu, was learning with straight lamdas, and that was the ikur chesidus. And the Chedushim was not into miracle working and so on, which was much more in Galicia and came a lot from the Nehemiah Melech. So it happened that the Chedushim for Shabbos. He spent the Shabbos or Yontif. He was in Galicia, and there were Talmid Chacham that was sitting there that came to sit by the Chedush HaRim, and the Chedush HaRim, when he was there, asked, is it possible, is there anybody that lives here that saw the Nehemiah Melech Melech, so many years later, so you'd need a very old man, is there anybody here that saw the Nehemiah Melech Melech? And they said, you know, they'll try to find someone. Later on, many people were coming to see the Chedushim for Brachas. And there was an old Jew there. And the Chedushim was looking around, and the Chedushim said, you. He said to this old Jew, he said, is it true that you saw the Nehemiah Melech Melech? And he was the only one. He was the one they were looking for. So the people in Nispal, they said that they looked at this, that you see that there are mifes and there are miracles, that even that come from Ger. They also do miracles, the rabbis, not just here in Galicia. Sechdushim said that the chlal, it's not a maifis, and don't be choshing me that I'm involved with miracles or anything like that. But I must tell you that any Jew that in his life, even for a moment, once set his eyes upon the Nehemiah Melech, he looks completely different than anybody else. He can't look the same. He can't be the same person. He's a different face, a different look. If somebody once set their eyes upon the Nehemiah Melech, it can't be anymore. It's not shaykh that it should be the same person. This Shabbos, this Pesach Shabbos in the morning, I spoke about the two children, the Ktsois and his brother, the Quintus Asreikis, Rabbi Yaleb and Abihud, and how the father wrapped the coat around them, and wrapped the gartler around the coat. It's a famous Maaseh Shehaya that we know from the Rebbe Naftali Rapshitzer. Rebbe Naftali was, of course, one of the closest disciples of the Nehemiah Melech. So, we have a few maaseh like this from the Rav Shitzer. The Rav Shitzer wanted to see that time of the day that the Nehemiah Melech, there was a certain time of the day, most of the time the Nehemiah Melech was either learning, and when he was learning he had the Shamas there with him, or he was speaking to people, was helping people, thousands of people coming to him all the time. But every single day after Mincha, he would, for a short time after Mincha, he would speak in Avodas Hashem to a few of his closest Talmidim, and then after that he would go by himself for a while into a room, a special room, without a Shamas, without anybody. So the Rav Shitzer wanted to know what goes on over there in the room. You know what goes on when no one's allowed in. So that's the most interesting place to go, obviously, when no one's allowed in, even with a parent or guardian. Cannot allowed in. So the Rav Shitzer went to hide. Over there in that room to see under something, to see under the closet, to see what goes on. So it happened that he went in there. So the Nehemiah Melech closed the door and he locked the door after him, and he took out his gartel. He took out his gartel, and it was already after Mincha. It was after Mincha. He took out his gartel, and he was holding his gartel, and he was walking back and forth for a few minutes, and he was catching on fire, just holding the gartel. And then he stopped after a few minutes of going back and forth like this, and the Rav Shmuel was watching, and he started, and he put his gartel on, and he started to, and he wound it one time around his waist. And the Rav Shmuel said that when he did that, he said the room was filled with or gadol or yakrush and kamohu, with a light that he had never seen such a light. And then the Nayim HaMelech wrapped it a second time, and the Rav Shmuel said he couldn't bear it anymore. He felt that he was going to leave the world, and he started screaming. He was so frightened by what he saw, and the Nayim HaMelech said, he said Naftali. He knew it must be Naftali, Rav Shmuel said. So he says, "Come out." And Naftali crawled out from under the closet wherever he was, the Rav Shmuel, and the Rebbe HaMelech said to him, "Lu ha'yisa'id beish ani yisayves avnet pam shlishis." If you would have remained, if you would have still been under the closet by the third wrapping of the gartel, "Kiaz nafshecha ha'yisayetsis migadol ha'or," you would have died from the light that would have been revealed in the room. And I get out of here, you know. Don't do that again. You know, it's not a good. Don't stay here when I want to be by myself. the Rebbe HaMelech, they used to see Rav Chaskel Kozmer. Rav Chaskel Kozmer, you heard of all of his descendants, the tzaddikim from Majus. Rav Chaskel Kozmer heard that at the time, every single time on Shabbos when we come to Kedusha by Musaf, which is the highest musaf is Kesa Yidn Lecha, the crown is placed on Hashem's head. So the tzaddikim say that they would notice that every single Shabbos, when it came to musaf, when it came to Keser, so the Nayim HaMelech used to look at his watch. Now there are a lot of Jews that are watching there, they're looking at their watches throughout the entire davening. But it was very odd that the Nayim HaMelech should, like Keser, this is the holiest time of the whole davening. Keser Yinulucha, every single time they saw that the Nayim HaMelech, when he said Keser, you know, he had on a chain, he would take a look at his watch. So they asked, there are different versions of what happened, either they asked the Rebbe himself or they asked his son, and the explanation was that the time of Keser was a time of such mesikus, of sweetness. It's a time of such mesikus in the relationship that the Jewish people have to Hashem, that the Nayim HaMelech was afraid that if he wouldn't hold on to time, that his neshama would leave his body. So by looking at the watch, and the watch means time, and time means this world, and this world means the only reason that there's time is because there's a connection between the body and the soul. When the soul is not held down by the body, then there's no ending of time. So because the Nayim HaMelech felt such a sweetness by Keser that his neshama would leave his body, so in order to hold on, that he should be able to continue to exist, see, he would take a look at time, and time means that he's still in this world. The Spinker Rebbe Susi again Elena, Rabbi Yosef Meyer, the author of the Sefer Imre Yosef. So the Spinker Rebbe used to say very often from the Nayim HaMelech that it once happened that the Rebbe HaMelech he left the room and he was passing through the kitchen, and in his kitchen the Nayim HaMelech's daughter-in-law was standing with a baby, was holding his granddaughter. She was holding a grandchild in her arms, and the baby, as is very common with babies, I mean, it wasn't a tiny little infant; it must have been a little bit older. And she was apparently nursing or holding the child, and the baby started to patch, to give a clap, to hit his mother, the Nayim HaMelech's daughter-in-law, to hit her on the chest. And the Rebbe Elimelech saw this, and he said, Gevalt, the child's over the Isra Darais of Mak over the Imai. A Jewish child is hitting his mother. Now, a baby, you know, the baby wants to eat, so the baby's giving, you know, whatever, the baby's tired, or the baby's upset. So what happened was, is that the Noam HaMelech's mother was in the kitchen also. The Noam HaMelech's mother was in the kitchen with the Rebbe's daughter-in-law. Noam HaMelech was in the kitchen. And the great grandmother was there in the kitchen, and she said, "What are you screaming? What are you screaming at the baby? When you were a baby, you also used to give me occasionally a patch." She said to Noam HaMelech, "When you were a baby and you were nursing, you used to sometimes be difficult, and you would hit me." And the Rebbe Melech says, "Is that true? Is that really true that I did that?" And she said, "Absolutely." So what happened? So the Spink Rebbe said, and it says in the Surah, that the Rebbe HaMelech went over there by the stove, and under the stove there was a big fire, and the Noam HaMelech put his hand into the fire and started screaming that the hand that hit my mother has to be burned. And they went there screaming, and they started to pull him out, and it was already too late, and his hand was already charcoal and terribly, terribly burned. And then it was his right hand, and then after this happened, and they took him out and they pulled him out, he put his hand into his coat, and he took his hand out, and it was cured completely the way that it first was. It was normal. And he said, to all that were standing there, he said, "Al tachshvu shayad hazeh sheyeshli I don't want you to think that this is the same hand that hit my mother, that I was born with. This is not the same hand." He said, "Baruch Hashem, that hand that hit my mother, I burned that hand. It's finished. The ziyad chadosh, and this is a new hand. It's not the same hand. It's a completely new hand." So we're going to be hearing many, many, many more stories about the Noam HaMelech. I wanted a little bit just to have, we should have a time, a taste of what we're talking about, of the person we're talking about, of how he was viewed by the tzaddikim. And in order to begin, before we talk about the toldos, the life of the Noam HaMelech, and some biographical information, I thought that the best thing to do would be to read together the tefillah before the tefillah's guy. If you look in the Siddur, I don't know how many of you ever noticed this in the Siddur. On page 7, I love the Mashkenaz Siddur, you know, some of the right. So in the Nusach Svar, which most of them are Svar, in the Nusach Svar Siddur, on page 7, and especially during this time of the year, if it's once in a while, if it's possible, there's nothing that's as wonderful as a Jew going to the mikveh and after the mikveh saying the Rebbe Melech's tefillah. And even if one can't go to the mikveh, it certainly is a very, very chashuv thing during Elul, Tishrei, and the rest of the year, but especially this time of the year, to try once in a while before davening to say the tefillah kodem tefillah, to say the davening before davening. I don't know if it's in the English one. I don't know if there's any translation or if it's in the English one. I suspect that they didn't put it there, but it's in page 7 of the, it's on page 7 of the regular Lashon HaKodesh art scroll. And it's printed in most Siddurim. It's printed, even in most Ashkenaz Siddurim. I don't know if they printed it. Why they didn't print it in this one? The history of this tefillah, we'll talk about Mitzvah much later. There's a story behind this tefillah also. But now I thought since the life of the Rebbe of Melech is itself a tefillah, so we should say tefillah kodem tefillah. So we should say this tefillah, we should understand this tefillah, look at this tefillah before we actually begin to discuss the life of the Rebbe of Melech. There are enough Siddurim, I don't know why we don't have the Xerox. Okay. Yeah, okay, so probably in the room next door, as long as we take back for the morning meeting. There's some Siddurim. There's plenty of Siddurim. You have to realize that among Jews in Poland, Galicia, this was accepted as something that almost every Polish Yid said, Galiciani Yid said the tefillah of the Rebbe of Melech before davening every morning. Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. May it be Hashem, may it be Hashem, God of our God and God of our fathers, may it be your will. Shemeh kol shavas asira, Hashem who listens to the outcry, to the sincere outcry of a Jew, umazin lekol tfilas am Yisrael berachamav, and who listens to, pays close attention to the sound of the tfilas, the kol of the tfilas of his people Yisrael with his compassion. Shetochin libenu, uschenein machshav asein, Hashem, help us prepare our hearts and to correct and to straighten out our thoughts. And send the right words of tefillah in our mouths, the right words of davening in our mouths. And Hashem, please, may your ears listen to the sound of the davening of your servants, who are begging you, who are calling out to you, with a screaming cry and with a broken spirit. Va'ata kel rachum, Hashem, who's a compassionate God. Rachamecha haravim b'chasadecha agdolim timchol v'sislach u'sechar pelonu. Hashem, in your compassion and your great kindness, please forgive and grant kapara, atonement and forgiveness, l'chol lonu to us, l'chol amcha beis Yisrael, to the entire Jewish people, as kol ma shechatanu, anything that we've done, that we've sinned, v'havinu, v'heshanu, v'fashanu l'fanacha, intentionally, unintentionally, what we've done against you, ki golu v'yadu l'fanacha, because it's revealed and it's known to you, ki lo b'mered, uvamal chalila v'chalila marinu espicha, it wasn't because we're rebellious and we wanted to go against you intentionally that we disobeyed you. V'divei saroschem tzasecha, that we ignored your Torah mitzvahs. Ki mirev ha-yetzer, but it was because of the great strength of the Yetzahara, haboya b'kirbeinu tomid, that is constantly burning within us. L'yanuach v'l'yishka, the Yetzahara doesn't rest and it's not quiet. Ada shemivyeinu al taivas ha'olam ha'shofel hazeh, Havolov, the Yetzirah doesn't rest and it's not quiet until it brings us, it drags us into the desires for this low and absurd world. It's constantly confusing our thoughts. I feel the shosh anachnu oimdim l'spal afanecha. So even when we're coming to daven to you, which is this the tefillah before davening, and even now when we're coming to daven to you, ulavakish al nafshenu, and we're coming to beg for what we need for our souls and to live, and to ask that you should give us life. The Yetzirah is confusing our thoughts with all of its schemes. Of the Yetzirah, and we don't have the strength to stand up against this Yetzirah, because our minds very weak. And our tolerance, our strength is at a low ebb because of all of the tsaris, all of our tsaris, vatlois, and all the difficulties, the tsaris and hardships, vitirdas hazman, and even though a person doesn't have so many tsaris, Baruch Hashem, but the tirdas hazman, who's so preoccupied and so torrid with all the things that are going on. Lachain, therefore, Ata kel rachum mechanan, Hashem, who's compassionate, Asei imonu kemoishiv tachtonu ayidei neman beisecha, please treat us in the way that you promised to the one who is faithful. V'chanois es asher achayim, v'yachamti es asher arachayim, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu after the Jewish people were worshipping the Egel Azov, and Hashem Zbach revealed this midah of being compassionate even for the person who's totally unworthy. And Chazal taught, even somebody who's completely unworthy, because Hashem, this is your way, that you are good to those, even to those who are bad. And especially, of course, to those who are good. Ki golu v'yadu l'fanecha, because Hashem, it's completely known to you. And kaseinu v'tzareinu v'sicheinu, you know, Hashem, our outcry, and you know our difficulties, and you know our tsar, and how low and to what place we've sunk into. Al asher ein onu yechoyim l'karav etzmein l'vadasecha, we don't know how to bring ourselves closer to you. We don't know how to draw near to you. and we don't know how to attach our hearts to you in truth in a pure way. What's going to be with our souls? Avinu shebeshamayim, our Father in heaven. Hashem, awaken your infinite compassion upon us. Legoresh ulevirus yitzrein haramik yirbeinu. Help us to remove, to completely remove the yitzhar from within us. Visigarbay sheyosef v'yelech mitanu. Meaning, give it a patch, give it a screen, the yitzhar Hashem, that it should what? That it should go away from us. That it should no longer have the ability to draw us away from serving you. So that no bad thought comes into our minds. Not when we're awake, and not, God forbid, even when we're sleeping, that we shouldn't have an improper thought. And particularly at a time when we're coming to daven to you. We're coming to learn your Torah. Or we're doing mitzvahs. Tehei, please, Hashem, tehei machshav tenu zaka, help us that our thoughts should be pure. Slulu uvur v'chazaka, clear and pure and strong. Our thoughts should be be'emes in truth, belev shalom with the whole heart. Ketzoincha hatov yimanu, as you want for us. U'sa'iril of aveinu Hashem, and arouse, awaken our hearts. U'levav kol Yisrael amcha, and the hearts of all Jews. Li'achedcha be'emes, to be ahava, to unify you in truth and with love. La'avdecha avoida hayishara, and to serve you what, in a straight way, in an honest way, in a real way. That should be what? That it should be something which is accepted before you, by before the throne of glory. And Hashem, establish and fix in our hearts emun of faith in you. Help us to believe in you, Tomid, believe hefsik without any stop, without any hefsik, without any interruption. And by the way, this is the tefillah. Some of you might be wondering, although there's no cause to wonder, because we have many tefillahs like this that were established by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. What are we davening for things that have to do with our own bechir, with our own free choice? Everybody knows Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Miyir Shemayim, that fear of heaven, belief in God, and so on. These are all things that we have to work on ourselves. And yet we see that the Rebbe Elimelech is screaming and crying that Hashem should help us. And yet we have that in tefillahs in many, many places in davening, such tefillahs, even in Shemana Esrei, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sar Zecher, V'Karveinu Malkein Lava D'Sach, and so on. So we're not going to go into that right now, but the Maharsha talks about that, and many of the poskim. That itself is a very big sugya. Certainly we're davening that the conditions of our lives should be such that they will facilitate our coming closer to you, and that Hashem Shabbat can keep the side of evil away from us, that we should have schusim, that the Rebbein Shalom should help us, that it should be easier to serve him, and so on. It's a very big inyan in halacha. We're not going through it right now, but I know that it's something which you might think is strange, but if you look through all of davening, you'll see this constantly. In the bracha of Ahavas Olam, the same with Ben Abina, Lohav, Mahaskul, Lishma, Lishmar, Lima, Lishmar, Vlasa, Lakan, many, many places in davening. Many places. We have, it's rooted in Navi, which is a pasuk in Eicha. It's rooted in Tanakh, that we have such a concept. Of course, it's important to understand it. That's not where we're Isaac in right now, but we certainly can daven that Hashem Baruch should help us to serve him, should turn our hearts towards him. Hashem, help us that our faith in you should be so bound to our hearts, like a yosech shalosim, like a stave, like, you know, when you make a tent that can't be moved. The Savi Mi'aleinu Kol HaMesachim HaMavdilu Meneinu Leveinach, and Hashem, remove from upon us all of those covers that are separating between us and you. Avinu Shemayim, our Father in heaven. Bisatzi Leinu Mikol HaMechshaylus V'Touyos, and Hashem, save us from making mistakes. Al Tazveinu V'Al Techeinu V'Tachlimeinu, of course, don't abandon us, don't leave us. U'Seheyim Pinu Be'ez HaTifeinu, and Hashem, be with our mouths. Like the Shlich Tzibur asks by Yom Neroim, in Pifyos B'nei Yisrael, that you should be with Heyayim pifiyos bnei Yisrael. I'm coming. I don't remember the exact list. But you, Hashem, be with the mouths of the Jewish people. Be with our mouths when we talk to you. V'myadenu beis ma'abedenu, and be with our hands when we try to serve you. V'mlibenu beis machshavosein, Hashem, help us be with our hearts when we think of you. U'sezakenu avinu shebeshamayim, kel mali rachamim, Hashem, help us. You are filled with rachamim. Sheniyachad is l'vavenu machshavosein, v'diburenu ma'asein, v'choltenu ma'asein, v'agishosein, v'yidus lanu. Hashem, that all of our feelings, our thoughts, our words, our actions, every movement that we make, every hargosh that we have, should be what should be completely devoted only to serving you. Should be unified for the single purpose of serving you. That those things that we know about, feelings and thoughts and actions, any you do is little things that we don't realize, we don't think about. Haniglas from the stars, that which is revealed now, which is hidden. May every single thing be driven towards you and only to serve you. Without any tiny little thought that would passel up, that would disqualify or blemish any thought or feeling or action. Purify our hearts and sanctify our hearts. And pour upon us pure waters. And purify us. With your love and compassion, and implant and infuse within our hearts always to feel a love for you and to fear you. Without any interruption, every time, every place. When we're lying down, when we're getting up, may your Holy Spirit burn constantly within us. May we only lean and rely upon what on you and what on your Torah, the written Torah, the oral Torah, that which is revealed now, which is hidden in Mitzvah, and your Mitzvah to unify your great and awesome name. Hashem, save us that what from external thoughts, from thoughts of conceit of the ego. Hashem, help us from anger, not to get angry. That we shouldn't be makpid, we shouldn't have kpedis. I'm not here, it's a kpedis. Keeping score, right. Having grudges, bearing grudges and so on. Hashem, help us not to become sad. And Lashon Hara and all other bad midas. Or anything else that could stand in the way of our serving you. Hashem, pour your Ruach HaKadosh upon us, that we should be attached to you, as we constantly yearn for you more and more. Lift us from one Madrega to a higher Madrega, to a higher level. That we should come to the Madregas of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. May the schus of our ancestors stand for us. That you should hear our davening. May we always be answered when we dive into you. Aleinu al shum echad me'amch Yisrael, for ourselves when we dive in, for any Jew. Al yochad arab, for an individual, for what, or for a community. V'sismach v'sispar banu Hashem, may you always rejoice in us. May you always be proud of us. May we cause it to be fruits above, and may the roots be well grounded below. And Hashem, don't remind us and don't remember our sins, especially the sins of our youth. Hashem, don't remember or don't remind, don't speak of the sins of my youth. Hashem, turn all of our avarice into schusim. And Hashem, please give us from that world that's called the world of tshuva, give us the ability, Tamid, always to feel a hirur, to be able to have within us a little drop of that world of tshuva, to want loshuv alecha b'lev shom, to return to you with a whole heart. That we should be able to repair all that we've, God forbid, blemished in your holy names. Save us from being jealous of any Jew. May we never ever have jealousy in our hearts for any Jew. May may we never be jealous of anybody, and nobody should be jealous of us. Hashem, just the opposite. Help us that in our hearts we should always feel and see the greatness of every Jew, not what's wrong with a Jew, not what's missing from a Jew. Help us to see only what's good in a Jew. That each and every one of us should speak to and should conduct ourselves with every Jew in a way that's ehrlich, that's straight, and that's beloved to you. That no Jew should ever, God forbid, hate another Jew. And strengthen the attachment of love that we have to you. That everything that we do should only bring you nachas. This is the ikkar of what we want in life. And now that we're about to daven, if we don't have the seichel to have these kavanas, to think the right thoughts, Atislam, Dainu, then teach us. Then teach us how to think about you. Teach us to have our kavanas, that our kavanas should be good kavanas. And no matter what, we call out to you and we beg you, Hashem, Kel Malei Rachem, who's a God who's filled with compassion, that you should receive our tefillas, Barachim, Rotzen, Amen, Ken Yirotzen. No, Halavai. We should be zeichem et Hashem after saying the tefillah, kaidem et tefillah, to talk about the life of a tzaddik whose every single moment was a tefillah to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We should be zeichem to a shefa, a brach, and hatzlochet, and schusim in the schus that we're learning about the tzaddik, and we're going to meet Hashem and be learning his tires. Shkai.